Give your neighbor a high five. Man, I'll tell you what, everything that's happening this morning lines up with where I believe the Father wants us to go, not just this morning, but in 2019. So let's quickly jump in today, and while you're getting ready to check out the first slide, you could turn to Deuteronomy chapter 31. That's Old Testament. Deuteronomy 31. We're going to camp there for a little bit today because it's really one of my favorite stories, passages in the Bible, but I really believe it has significance for where we are as a congregation and where we're headed. And I am so optimistic about what I believe God is going to do in and through every single one of you that sits here this morning, because it's not just the vision of the pastor or the staff, it's the dreams of the house that really puts wind in my sail. It's the dreams that God's placed inside of you that I want to see fulfilled. It's the dreams of everyone here when it begins to come together collectively that we begin to see the church move forward and advance for the cause of Christ. I'm believing that for you today. In Jesus' name, amen? All right. We're going to move on even if it doesn't come up. And while we're getting ready for that, Jerry, where are you? Jerry Ray. Jerry and Judy. Guys, stand up real quick. You guys, stand up. Both of you, stand up. You and your wife. This is the Rays. Welcome them. If you don't know them, Jerry, thank you. Jerry and his beautiful wife have been attending CrossPoint for a while now, and I've known Jerry for quite a few years. And when I shared with him a bit about what I was going to share today, he said, listen, what do you think about maybe, maybe I could give my books away to the family of CrossPoint because it really lines up with where we're headed and what you're going to be sharing. I go, that would be amazing. So this morning, as you leave the building, this book that Jerry wrote called Kingdom Royalty is available for you free of charge, one per family. And we'd love to give that and seed into your life because I believe if you'll read that, it's going to inspire you. It says, unlocking the door to your destiny. How many want to unlock the door to your destiny, right? So, Jerry, thank you, because I believe that this book has destiny all over it. Give the Lord a hand and thank Jerry for that this morning. Happy New Year to you. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 1, reads like this. Then Moses went and spoke these words to all of Israel. And he said to them, I am 120 years old today. I can no longer go in and out or out and come in. And also the Lord has said to me, you shall not cross over the Jordan. The Lord your God himself crosses over before you. He will destroy these nations from before you. And you shall dispossess them. Joshua himself crosses over before you, just as the Lord has said. Verse 4. And the Lord will do to them as he did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites and their land, when he destroyed them. The Lord will give them over to you, that you may do to them according to every commandment which I have commanded you. Be strong. Listen to these words. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear. Did you notice this morning that pretty much every song that we sang, that we gave expression to this morning, had to do with advancement, had to do with fear being destroyed, mountains being brought low. I'm gonna provoke you this morning, I hope, to go to a new place in your journey with Christ. I'm calling us to a higher place than we've ever been before. Not just one or two of you. I'm speaking to the family today, those present and those not present today. I'm declaring the word of the Lord over you today that you're about to cross over, be of good cheer, be strong, and be courageous because you're about to step into things that you've dreamt about but have yet to see it come to pass. I would have thought maybe a few more of you would have got excited about that. It's okay if you don't. That's all right. Be strong and good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. According to every commandment, for the Lord your God, he is the one who goes before you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. And then Moses calls Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage. For you must go with this people to their land, which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them. And you shall cause them to inherit it. In verse 8, and the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. Father, in your name I pray, you'd help me to bring your word that you've given to me in Jesus' name. The story of Moses' career, his career-ending speech is found right here. He's 120 years old. It's his birthday. And he says, I can't do this anymore. I don't have the energy to come and go with you like I once did. And to top it off, the Lord then instructs him and says, after 40 years, you're not going to cross over with all the children that you've led. I don't know about you, but this is kind of what went through my mind when I read these words. I'm like, wait a minute. 40 years I've led this tribe, this troop, this group of misfits, and now because I'm a senior, you're not going to let me enter? I don't get this. Like, we've crossed oceans together. We've seen oceans part. We've ate manna burgers every day. We've seen water come out of a rock when we were thirsty. You've downloaded the first tablet to me. Hey, I'll be here all week. Thank you very much. Not as good as Craig's last week, but I try. I mean, what do you mean I'm not going to? But here's the thing. I'm pretty convinced that Moses totally got what was going on. I think he was close enough to the Lord to understand that they were in a huge transition as a people. Their 120-year-old leader was not going to lead them into their promise. He would not join the occupation of the promised land. He was to die within sight of the promise on a mountain called Nebo. Now I'm assuming, like most people groups, hang on a second. Now I'm assuming that when Moses made this announcement, there was murmuring that went on in the camp. It's a big camp. Some say a couple million people. I'm not really sure how you communicate to a few million people without one of these back in the day, but they had a way of communicating. What? Our leader, who's been leading us for all these, is not going to enter with us? How are we going to occupy what's been promised without our charismatic leader, Moses, the most godly man we've ever seen? How are we going to do this without him? I'd imagine some fear began to well up inside the hearts of the people of Israel. And Moses, I believe, knew what they were thinking. If you look at verses 3-5, he makes a statement after he declares that he will not cross over with them. He says these things. He says, the Lord will, here it is, number one, himself cross over before you. He says, the Lord will destroy these nations that you're intimidated by. He said, the Lord will dispossess them of their occupancy. He said, the Lord will do to them as he did to Sihon and Og, which is an amazing story of how these two kings and all their people truly were way more massive and strong than the children of Israel, but yet the Lord gave both of those particular cities and leaders to the children of Israel prior to them crossing over. That's a whole other story within itself. Amazing. But he said, I'll do what I said I would do, and I will defeat them. And he said, the Lord will give them over to you. Moses, what he was doing is Moses was quelling the fears of the children of Israel. He was in essence saying, everything that I promised, the Lord's instructions will come to pass. Every prophetic word that you've been given, both personally and corporately, have not come to pass because of the Lord saying, I'm done with you. Some of it has to do with our positioning. Some of it has to do with our timing. Some of it has to do with, we put prophetic words on a shelf and we've said, well, Lord, because You put a delay on my prophetic word coming to pass. I'm just going to put it up here because that's the theology I have right now. Delay must be a part of your ways. I say to you, the Lord, this morning, that is not an accurate theology in your heart and your mind. You need to dispel that. You need to remove it and say, no, if God promised me something, his word says that the promises of God are what? Yes. Say it again. The promises of God are? Yes. That means so be it. It will come to pass. Don't put it on the Father because a word has not come to pass. The truth of the matter is most of us in this room are lazy. And we blame God for things that don't happen. It's time for us to get a little bit of wind in our sail and begin to declare and war and fight and believe that everything that God has spoken over your life will come to pass. Let's position ourselves for such a time as this. He says this. Look at this, verse 6. He says, I know you're all kind of freaking out about this announcement, but verse 6, he says this, be strong. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear. Do not be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. He is saying, be strong. Take courage. You can do this. I believe that 2019 is a year that you and I have to have a newfound courage to advance. 2018 is over. For many of you, thank God. But I have news for you. Every single day is a new day for you to begin. The mercies of God are new every single morning. It doesn't take a new year for you to start over. It doesn't take a calendar year for you to go, okay, 365 days is over, now I'm gonna start all over. Every single day you can wake up and go, okay, this is my new day. I'm gonna believe the word of the Lord and I'm not gonna be afraid. I'm gonna be courageous and I'm gonna step into my destiny. So I don't know what destiny is. Step into it anyway. Because here's the problem with not knowing how to step into it. Fear will occupy your heart and keep you from doing anything. Many of you look at certain people that get up and they speak. You're like, well, I want to be like them. Or I want to do this. Then do it. Stop waiting for some, you know, a cloud to appear, you know, from heaven. And there on that cloud is this angel playing a harp. And he goes, my child. Was thou once to do what thou wants to do? Why doesn't thou do it? It's not going to happen. Let's go on. I believe with all my heart that it's time for us to have courage to advance. Courage to advance. I actually had put down another word that's not a wrong word, but courage to occupy. Either one works for me. We can no longer allow the spirit of fear of man, fear of failure, fear of lack of resource or clarity to hold us back from occupying the places the Father has called us to. Back to our story real quick. In verse 7, Moses calls his assistant up in front of all of Israel. He says, hey, Joshua, come on up here, buddy. Come up. Puts his arm around him. I can see him put his arm around Joshua. And he says these words. He says, Joshua, in the sight of all of Israel, I want you to hear these words. Joshua, be strong and of good courage. I'm assigning you the task of leading this massive family across from the east side to the west side. It was the assignment of a lifetime for a young godly man named Joshua. I don't know if Joshua was surprised or caught off guard by the news. And I cannot say exactly how the people responded in the moment of the announcement. But this we know in verse 8, Moses emphatically says to Joshua, he emphatically says it to us this morning. And the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. Say he. He is the one. God is the one that goes before you when you step out. He's already gone before you. He is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. Say it with me. He will be with you. He says, he will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. Then why do so many of us, myself included, why do we allow fear to keep us from stepping into a dream, to stepping into a vision, to stepping into something that God promised us 20 years ago? Because we bought into the lie of the evil one that says you are nothing. You will never amount to a thing. You don't have the goods. You don't have the abilities. You don't have the skill set. You don't have the education. You don't have the looks. You don't have the talent. You don't drive the right car. You don't have the right clothes. And the list goes on. Poo-poo that idea. It's a lie from the pit of hell. Every single person in this room, God has called. He's called every single person in this room. And I'm the conclusion of this message, we're going to activate you, whether you know what your purpose, your dream is or not. We're going to activate you this year, 2019, to at least begin the process of stepping into something that God has prepared for your life. 2019, the Lord is saying it's time to move toward occupying your dreams, occupying the places that have been promised. The ecclesia is on the move. And we are a part of the great ecclesia army that is advancing his kingdom here on earth. Now before we transition into the bulk of the things I want to share this morning, I'm asking for a little bit of grace because I really want to release these thoughts to you today. But I'd like to show you this morning before we transition into some other material how Joshua transitioned into his prophetic destiny. We know the assignment was given by Moses to Joshua at the end of Deuteronomy chapter 31. But let me show you now, just a few pages later in Joshua chapter 1, what happens with the man Joshua. We know Moses has now gone to a mountain called Nebo. He's up there. The Father's spoken to him. He's talked to him, and then he said, you've got a glimpse of all the promised land. You're not going to make it in, buddy, but you get to die looking over this place. A promise. It says in verse 1, and the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, verse 1 of Joshua chapter 1, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, Joshua, arise to go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I'm giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. As I said to Moses, verse 5, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be encouraged. Man and woman of God this morning, that whatever you do, the Father will be there to encourage you, to strengthen you, to lift you up, to hold you up. He will never leave you. He will never violate that promise. Right. Be strong and of good courage. Once again, we hear in verse 6, for this is the people you shall divide as an inheritance, the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only, again, verse 7, he says, Moses, only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left that you may prosper wherever you go. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Pause for a moment. You know what we've got to do as a family? You've got to get into the Word. And I believe the Father revealed some things to me this week that I'm carrying, and it's heavy on my heart. We will never see revival. We will never see reformation. As long as we continue to sit back and be lazy in our pursuit of a holy life. I am up to here. And you can call me old if you want to, but I'll throw down with you if that's what it requires. But I'm fed up. I'm tired of the lack of holiness in the lives of men and women of God that call themselves Christians. I'm fed up with it. There's no conviction. There's no right or wrong. There's no yes or no. Everything is gray. It's the good grace of God. Well, I've got news for you. There's an awful lot of scripture that we could share this morning that challenges some of that doctrine. I love the grace of God. I love the love of the Father. I love the Father's embrace. I love all of that. I believe in all of that. But I will tell you this. It's time that we begin to ask the Father about our behaviors. It's about time that we begin to ask God, is this something I should be embracing? It's about time that we begin to ask the Father, and what I'm doing in the moment, this activity, does it bless you? Does it honor you? Does it really make you proud of your son or your daughter? See this Bible? We have raised up a generation in America that's illiterate to the Word of God. They don't know who Moses is. They don't know who Joshua is. They don't know who Jesus is. Well, it's time we get back to the Bible and begin to meditate on it, begin to chew on it, begin to live it. I'm convicted more than you probably know. I'm speaking to PB this morning. I've got to get off my lazy butt and begin to do what I know I need to do. I need to read the Word. If you don't like to read, listen to the Word. But stop making excuses because you don't want to do this or that. Nonsense. Nonsense. It's time to get provoked to walk in the holiness of God. Okay. All right. All right. All right. Yeah. Whew. Yeah. Joshua has a big assignment. He's got a big dream he has to fulfill now. Maybe you feel like your dreams are so big, there's no way you can fulfill them. You're right. You can't. Stop trying. You've got to give him permission to lead you. You've got to let him... give him permission to walk with you. You've got to let him be your rear, your side, your front. You've got to give him permission. You've got to give yourself permission to not have to be perfect. You've got to give yourself permission to fail. You've got to give yourself permission to be what you've got to be to fulfill what God's put inside your heart. Chances are the process will not be easy, but it's worth it if you're willing to take the risk and be of good courage. Be strong. And move forward in your pursuit of the things of the kingdom. See, in Joshua chapter 1, he tells Joshua, it's time to cross over. In verse 5, he says, as I was with Moses, I will be with you. This wasn't Moses reiterating what God had said. This was the Father speaking directly to Joshua right now. He says, Joshua, my son, be strong, be courageous, do everything I've commanded Moses to do. And you'll be okay. Let's go on. We have a backdrop now. We have the children of Israel sitting at the edge of the eastern edge of the river called Jordan. And across the other side is the promise. Now, I'm gonna tell you something. As a church family, for 17 years, we've made many crossings, many. We have practiced crossing thresholds time and time again, because I can promise you something. Once you cross over, if it's not the next day, it'll be next month, it'll be next year, it'll be 5 years from now, you'll be crossing another river or another obstacle. That river Jordan was an obstacle for the children of Israel to cross. We sometimes don't realize it was a major obstacle, but yet they were at the edge of that obstacle ready to cross over. What we need is this. We need the courage. Next slide. We need to understand what courage is, because I believe in part what God's calling us to as a family is the word. He wants us to be courageous to occupy, to advance. Courage defined is the quality of mind or spirit that enables a person to face difficulty, danger, pain, etc., without fear. I love the word bravery. Bravery. Courage is something we all need. And courage is not the absence of fear, but rather in the midst of our fears, we are still determined to advance and not look back. We're still willing to pay the price. We're still willing to at times get beat up and abused and whatever you want to say. We're still willing to take all that because God's given us a promise. And the promises of God are what? Yes and amen. Courage says no matter what, I am not looking back. I'm not going to look left. I'm not going to look right. I'm not going to look at my circumstances, but I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus. I'm going to keep walking the way he's called me to walk. I don't care if family, I don't care if circumstances, I don't care if government, I don't care if whomever looks at you and says, you can't do that. I say, in the name of Jesus, I can, because I have a mandate from God that says, I am supposed to do this. You don't have to like our president. You don't. A lot of people don't. It doesn't matter if you like him or not. He's leading. He's taking a stand. That's what leaders are supposed to do. Like it or not. We have a problem in America. We have a problem in the church. We have a problem in organization. You know what problem it is? And Danny would be able to agree with this, I believe. We have a lack of real quality leadership. There's a lot of great people out there. But we need more people that walk in principle, and I'll add, that walk with the heart of God, that begin to take a stand and say, I'm going to be strong, I'm going to be courageous, and I'm going to do what the Father's put in my heart, no matter if people follow me or not. I know these aren't the messages that build up a church, but I'm tired of trying to build a church. I want to build the ecclesia. I want to build you up as sons and daughters. I want to put wind in your sail. I want to say to you, you can do what God's put in your heart. Don't let anybody tell you different. For Crosspoint Life Church to advance in our calling, we are in need of a unified front of bravery or courage. It's not enough for Pastor Danny to lead the way with a thing called City Hope. She's being courageous. We've got a lot of courageous people in the room, but that's not what we're speaking to. I'm talking to you individually. I'm not talking to the corporate vision. I'm talking to you. To bravely go where no one has dared to go before. Pastor, you think there's places where people haven't gone before? Are you kidding me? Every single day of your life, you walk into the public square or the marketplace. Will you dare to have the courage to go into that place and begin to change the atmosphere as a child of God? Will you begin? Mark Bartle's done this for years. Many have done this. You walk the hallways. Candy does it. You walk the hallways and you plead, Jesus, I pray that the atmosphere of heaven would come into this room and change the hearts of a stubborn people. You don't always succeed, but you always succeed. I've heard it said, if not every week, or maybe every couple of days, every week, maybe every couple of weeks, I should say, how the church in America is in decline and dying. I don't know about you, but I look around the room, I don't see anybody dying in this room. And I would not say that this church is dead. Would you? No. I'm just asking you, because you're in here. Are you dead? So let me emphatically say this, that I do not believe that that statement is true. But what maybe is dying is the church as we've known it for decade after decade, for maybe hundreds of years. I think what's dying is our metrics for what church is supposed to look like. I think what's dying is a belief that church growth, bring everybody inside the walls, do everything inside the walls, everything's got to be inside the walls, is dying. I think what is threatened is pastors in the nation who aren't seeing success as we defined it in the American church. I know pastors, if you took away their thousands of people in their congregation, they wouldn't know what to do with themselves. Because their value has come in building a church, building and a people. I would suggest to you today, that would take this family right here, Cross Point Life Church. I'll take this church family any day, any time, any place, and put it up against many of the large churches in America. And I would say, you guys rock because you believe in what we're teaching. You believe that there's more than sitting in a chair and doing nothing. The ecclesia, here's what I want to make the point with. What is not dying and is not threatened and will never be a risk of annihilation is the true ecclesia. You will never kill me. You will never kill my staff. You will never kill the true child of God. Therefore, you'll never stop the church from advancing. Tell that to the church in China. You put them underground, they got bigger than they ever could have been above ground. And right now, they're paying the price. They're literally destroying churches and killing leaders in China right now. You think that's going to stop the ecclesia? Absolutely not, because this building could go away tomorrow, but we would still stand tall. That's what happened in the fires up in Northern California. We happen to know the two pastors of two Assembly of God churches in that fire in Paradise. Now watch one of the videos. The pastor's name is Jack Wright. And Jack said, yeah, it's gone. First Assembly of God, the building's gone, but ain't going to stop us. Where's the ecclesia? This morning I want to encourage you. The ecclesia stands on the edge of the eastern shore of the Jordan River. And the question becomes, are you ready? Are you ready to truly go after what God has put in your heart, put in our hearts, and believe that together we can do all things to Christ who gives us strength, that we can accomplish the dreams he put inside of us. When man says no, God says yes. He told Joshua, he told Moses, go, I've already gone before you. I'm with you on your, by your side, and I will be your rear guard. How can you lose? No weapon fashioned against you is gonna prosper. The word ecclesia, just a couple more things. The word ecclesia, I know you know this, but I want you to catch this because I'm believing that God wants to reimagine what the ecclesia can look like, what the church can look like. And I believe you're forerunning something. I'm going to say this. I probably shouldn't, but I'm going to say it anyway. I've learned over all these years. You will never like Cross Point if you're looking for something that is stereotypical of not just the church world or the evangelical church, where you come and you go, you hoard it in, you hoard it out, and you do our three songs, we take our offering, we preach a nice message, and then we bail. We go home and we go right back to the same lifestyle we had when we came in. And I'll tell you this, you're not even gonna find us as a revival church similar to a lot of other churches that claim to be revival churches. Because I could care less about all the stuff anymore. I don't care about conferences anymore. We'll host them once in a while. I want to know that you're doing what God put in your heart. I want to know that this family called Cross Point is fulfilling her assignment in the region. I want to know that we can unite the hearts of people throughout San Diego called the church, the ecclesia, because we have said as a family, we're going to go for it. We're not gonna stop. We're not gonna hold back. But Pastor, I can hear some thinking, what about all this stuff that belongs in church? Like, you know, all this, you know, programs, and I don't know. What about it? Start one. I don't know. All I can tell you is this. I'm just tired of doing church as we've always known it. Ecclesia, in the original word, in the original language, the original word in the New Testament for church, it was the word church. Ecclesia is. The true meaning is called out ones or called out by assembly. We've been experimenting with this for a while now as a church. Our language at CPLC is church gathered, church scattered. When we gather, we're gonna gather well. When we scatter, that's the challenge of how to raise you up as ecclesia to be Jesus to a hurting world. We will be spending a great deal of time over the years expanding our capacity to understand what this looks like and how we can participate in future teachings and classes that will put wind in our sails. But this, I believe, is where the experts in the church world are missing it. They're still building around the idea of growing a church numerically, getting everybody inside the walls and build systems around that philosophy. And it works in some circles. But I'm an advocate of a different way of practicing ecclesia. I believe we are gathered as we do on Sunday, and we want the presence of Holy Spirit to come, and we really, I believe, do this pretty well. Matter of fact, I want to say this to you. I believe we're one of the best-kept secrets in San Diego. I'm not kidding. I do. I said this to somebody recently. I go, I don't know why more people don't know who we are, because we're not about selfish ambition. We're not trying to build our own kingdom. You don't even know who's speaking on Sunday. You show up and whoever gets up speaks. Go to a church that happens. It doesn't. I trust my team. I'm not afraid of you liking them better than me when they speak. It doesn't matter. What matters is that when we meet, the word of the Lord comes forth, you hear Jesus, you see Jesus, you engage Jesus, and you leave with more of Jesus. It doesn't matter who's up on the platform. It doesn't matter who's leading worship. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. What matters is Holy Spirit showing up, not doing church. Listen, if doing church was the answer to America, we would not be in a predicament we're in right now. But we're in a predicament right now because the church, the ecclesia, has not taken her rightful place. But I believe that's shifting. I don't think it's about a church building. I believe there's people that are rising up in prominent positions of government, education. Small business owners are stepping up and saying, use me, Father. Use me. I want to change the world. I want to change the world. Okay. Well, there's no way I'm going to be able to land the plane on this morning, so we're just going to end with these thoughts. But I'm completely convinced that God has placed dreams and godly desires inside of all of us, and he wants to show us how we can courageously move away from the shore of the Jordan and cross over to occupy territory that the enemy has said we cannot have. Do you know the place that the enemy has taken that he shouldn't have taken? It's not his rightful place to take. If so, let's dethrone, let's remove, let's get rid of that, the occupied seat, and occupy that seat. Let's say, not on my watch any longer. I'm a son of God, I'm a daughter of the King, and I'm not gonna let that happen any longer. It's time to occupy seven mountains, influencing them once again. This is where you cannot control or manage metrics. You cannot control or manage by metrics the true ecclesia. You cannot put, we have 7,000 people in the ecclesia. See, here's what I've been getting to say when people ask, well, how big is your church? You ready? Here's what I say. Our church? Oh, it's 3.1 million. Like, no, really? No, it's 3.1 million. What do you mean? Well, San Diego. That's my church. Oh, no. You're in La Mesa. 60-some thousand people. All right. How many are running? 63,000. Huh? And Ramona, and name your city. Can you catch this? Why do we have to put it into a little box and say, well, we run 150 people? Pooey on that one too. Let's stop thinking in the old way of thinking, and let's allow God to create an unoffendable wineskin. Let him create an unoffendable wineskin that he'll pour into you something that only he could pour into you, but you're willing to receive the new wine because you've created space for it. He's asking for us to create a new wineskin, to do something that needs to be done in San Diego so we can occupy the territory he's called us to occupy. And I'm convinced of this. I'm convinced that part of the delay for years of seeing more and more people coming to the harvest through this congregation, that day is about to end. Because you're going to begin to catch it. You're going to begin to say, you know what? You need to meet my family. You need to come. And if they don't want to come here, then you go to them and you sit down with them and you find another believer and you grab hands and you say, in the name of Jesus, we bless you today. Where two or three have gathered in the name of Jesus, it says what? I will be there in your midst. That is truly the ecclesia in motion. I always wondered, well, how can the ecclesia, two or three of God, where's more than two or three in the room? I never understood that scripture until I began to understand ecclesia. When you're in the public square, two of you have gathered for coffee, welcome Holy Spirit into that room. And guess what? Bam! He's right there with you, and you can change atmospheres. Man, I'm telling you, I feel like Holy Spirit is really, really messing with me. Our focus must be to empower you to bring hope to the marketplace and the public square. The ecclesia is you, and it's me. I had some other things I wanted to do. I wanted to set this up and talk about where I think this family, there's three or four things I wanted to share with you where I believe this family needs to go in 2019. It's not, they're aspirational in nature. They're things I believe that together we can go. One of them is prayer. I believe it's time that we stop being lazy in prayer. And when there's time to come to the church and pray, you need to come. You need to come. I need to get out of my lazy bed and come. I know I'm the only lazy one here. I know that. But what if all of a sudden there was an uprising of prayer in this house? What would happen? What would happen? I don't know. But I'd like to dare to try it. Oh, Pastor, I just don't like mornings. Neither do I. I had this impression that I was going to, and maybe today's not the time, but I really believe that there's a new level of worship. It's coming, you guys. Oh, goodness. What is going on? We're blessed with the worship that we have. We are so blessed. We've got young, we've got middle age, we're not dated in what we do, but I believe the Father is calling Jordan and Lacey and team. He's calling you deeper. He's calling you to a place that you've never ever known before. And it's going to require a different way of seeing church. It's going to require that you tap in to what the Spirit is saying, not just for this church, but prophetically, what's He saying for the region. And when you come in, and whoever is leading, when you begin to release the word of the Lord through song, we pull the song of heaven down here to earth, we begin to step into a whole new realm of glory that we've never known before. It's not because they're they are amazing musicians and singers, but it's more than that. It's pulling back the veil and tapping into the realm of heaven and seeing the activity of heaven pull down here to earth and go, I want to tap into that. Get ready. But the getting ready part is on you. It's not on him because he's ready. He is ready to take all the team to a place. And listen to me. Probably one of the most difficult areas to lead in the church is that one up there. Because you'll find fast how selfish ambition can bring a person to desire to want to be in front of people. Because there's two positions on a Sunday that get the most attention. The speaker and the worship team. But you've got to preserve that. You've got to protect that. If someone has an attitude, someone has selfish ambition, someone doesn't want to submit or follow the way that this team is leading, you say, that's fine. You don't have to be up here. If they get offended, fine. You found out where their heart is. If they go, you're right. That's the kind of person you want. Nurture that. Protect that, you guys. Because it's special what we have. Okay. Yeah, I don't even know what to do now. Okay, so we have baptisms, don't we? Okay. I'll just get in with my clothes and all, I guess. No. Okay, so here's what I want to do. This makes sense at all to you? Really bared my soul, but I really do believe that if you understand what happened with Joshua and Moses, there was a crossing over. There was an assignment given. There was these words. Hear the word of the Lord this morning. Be courageous. Be strong. For the Lord your God has gone before you. If he goes before us, who can be against us? I just want to simply say this year, 2019, is your year if you'll accept the assignment. And when you don't know what to do and you start looking left or right, we just read this morning that you're not supposed to do that. Go find somebody that you trust. Come together as Ecclesia and pray. Father, the two of us are praying right now that you bring clarity to my journey, clarity to this decision I need to make, clarity to my next steps. Yeah? Okay, so here's what I want to do. Don't forget to pick up your book this morning by Jerry Ray in the back. And then secondly, here's how we're going to wrap up today. Well, I'm changing clothes to get in the baptismal. I want to activate us into our 2019. And hear me. Don't do this if you're not feeling it. Don't play the game of peer pressure. Only do it if you want to step into something fresh. We've done this many times. It's not a fire tunnel by any means, but we're just going to prophetically step into, from the east side to the west side, we're going to step into our promise. And we're all going to meet Joshua's today. And I'm going to play Moses for a moment. And I'm not going to go die in the baptismal tank, I promise. That's not my Nebo. But what is going to happen is I'm going to assign you to cross over. I'm going to be Moses to the Joshuas this morning. Say, raise up a Joshua generation. And those of the young this morning, in your 20s, maybe your teens, hear this morning. You need to protect your heart that you don't become so disillusioned with the church because it's not what you think it should be. Then help bring change. Don't judge it. And the older people in the room, don't judge the younger. Because I believe one of the things that God's called us to as a house is the generations. It's not a new thing. It's always been a part of us. I was told when I first got here, and Carrie will be the only one probably to remember this, with Shirley maybe, that, you know, you're just a youth pastor, you don't like the old people, and da, 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 da. I don't think that's true. But it was true, I was a youth pastor. And I still love young people. And I don't want to ever admit I'm getting older, but here's the fact. Generationally speaking, I don't have a problem being a grandpa. I don't have a problem being a dad. I like both of those roles, and I want to do it with you. I want to do it together. But some of you sons and daughters need to rise up to your rightful places. This morning is your day to step into it. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to be standing just a moment. You're going to line up in this aisle right here. This is the threshold of the east side. You're going to cross from the east side to the west side. And then what I'd like to suggest is that as you cross over, I want you all gather in the Jordan River this morning. I'm going to make this a river. And there's some prophetic significance if you understand some of the history of what's been prophesied in this area right here. But I want you to come as you cross over, make room for everybody, and just fill this whole area up. And then what we're going to do together, we're going to celebrate the baptisms together. While you're standing here, you're crossing the Jordan. Now we're going to dip some people in the Jordan. We'll dunk them. And then we're going to celebrate together as family. Does that make sense? Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the patience of my family. And thank you for allowing me to share my heart. In Jesus' name, amen.